Around the NFL podcast is gonna ride till they can't no more.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast presented by the United States Marine Corps. My name is Dan Hansis. I'm joined in a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
I mean, think how many times I've said that.
1,284, 86, I think, actually, right?
We're up to 86.
Yeah.
More times than I've said, hey, Dan.
So many times. And I have asked multiple times, how many shows have we done? Where are we? Are we close to 1,000? We should do a 1,000-episode blowout live show somewhere in Los Angeles. And every time, Erica looks me in the eye and she says, no, thanks. I don't need to look that up.
That's not true. I look it up every day.
I mean, it would be very...
Well, that's not necessary either.
Yes. No, it's so...
This is your all the president's men type of investigation, just ongoing.
Well, here's how long it would take. As long as it takes to count to, you know, a little less than 1,000. So I bet one of our listeners would do. All you got to do is go to iTunes, right, and just count. Count them up.
Yes. July 2013, we started as a foursome.
I think that's a great idea for our listeners. It's a challenge for our listeners. I think it's really like we want to see how much you guys love the show.
You should see how because you're already outsourcing money tags. Okay, how much of your duties at work can you just outsource to our wonderful listeners?
I think that's a really great idea.
How many episodes of the broadcast are we up to?
Do we need a listener to count?
47.
Do I sound like that?
Yes, Rick.
47.
This is Erica.
47.
That's right.
There we go. Very feminine. All right. Here we go. This is live.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Mark. It's live on YouTube.
Why does the retaliation come towards me?
Because it's the only drop I have, like, readily accessible.
Make more.
Oh, my God. Feisty boys today.
We are live on YouTube right now, and you could, if you're checking this out in audio form, you could come back to it, and you could see... how feisty the boys are in the studio 2 days ahead of Thanksgiving. And speaking of Thanksgiving, we hear it all the time. I like the do it lady.
Yeah.
It's fine. I like it. I like the do it lady.
Yeah.
Every show, every year around this time, we were told the season doesn't really start until after Thanksgiving. It doesn't even begin, which, first of all, Wes, I know you're a guy, you chew up that film. You're a real tape dog, as they call you.
Tape dog, yeah.
It must be offensive to you on some level for people to think you could, isn't it kind of reductive thinking a little bit?
No, not at all. I think it's absolutely correct, and I've had to come to terms with the fact that 3 months of my life just are meaningless.
Well, it's saying, you know, when it comes to winning a championship, that's not our goal. Our goal is just to entertain and inform the masses. So I think that matters in week two, week three. But if your goal is just winning a Super Bowl, that's when it kind of matters.
Right. I'd say the Bengals have followed orders.
They certainly have.
They're going to ride.
No, that was solid perspective, Greg. And with that in mind, a little later in the show, since the season doesn't start until Friday, the day after Thanksgiving here in the States, we're going to offer up a couple of predictions for, I guess, what the real season is. This has all been a big exhibition walk up until now. So
it's all about stacking wins until
I'm
now.
Even throwing right. Thanksgiving into that, because it's unfair that the Cowboys and Bills and other teams playing Thursday, their season would be less than the rest of
That brings up another point. I actually asked you guys a couple days ago, is the saying the season begins on Thanksgiving or after? But using that logic, yes, Thanksgiving should count, since essentially people are saying, if you really want to boil it down, week 13 is when the season begins.
It's an old Belichick Parcellsism. I don't think anyone else really peddles in this, but Belichick loves it.
And that's pretty good source material in terms of the info on that. So we're going to throw out some predictions for the final 5 weeks of the regular season and perhaps the playoffs. I don't know where you guys went with this. Also, speaking of Thanksgiving, we're going to preview each of the three Thanksgiving Day games. We got some turkeys. I hate myself. I like the do it lady to discuss. Chicago at Detroit, Buffalo at Dallas, New Orleans at Atlanta. Now, that's another idea. Instead of us having to, Mark and I are going to handle the Thanksgiving, post-Thanksgiving wrap-up, can you just dig up enough sound clips of Mark and I just to put together an entire recap.
I love that plan.
Of Thanksgiving.
By the way, I do appreciate I appreciate you adding extra people to be interrupted with their own voice while they're talking. It's a little bit unnerving.
I thought it was fair, especially because it's like clearly a man singing that New York City song, and he just does like a falsetto, and you're like, I like the do it lady. So like, it was funny.
It doesn't bother me as much though.
I thought it was a lady.
It is.
Do it.
Listen. Yeah, that's a woman.
Yeah, that's a female.
Are you kidding?
Yeah,
no, that's singing "Do It" is a female.
Oh, no, wake up, Tampos. It's a guy. That's a woman.
No, okay, it's not. Though.
That's backing vox by a female.
No, it's a guy going falsetto.
That's Mary Clayton. No.
Would you mind researching that case?
Or asking the listener.
Yeah, if you guys want to know, this song came out of our library and never to be found again. I'm not sure what it's called, where it's from, but look it up.
A lot of gender confusion this week between this and Conan the Dog. I mean, it's a hot story.
It's all over the place. So we'll preview the three Thanksgiving games. But before we do any of that, let's finish up week 12 with the road to victory. Presented by the United States Marine Corps, and yes, the Ravens, they are cruising down that road.
Jackson takes the snap, blitz pressure coming, slings to the end zone, Hollywood Brown has it, touchdown number two for Hollywood. Hollywood Brown ran free right down the seam, and Lamar Jackson, with cornerback pressure coming, delivered the dime, and the Ravens extend it to a two-touchdown lead.
Every time he makes a throw like this, the word that comes to my mind is sustainable. Because everybody says this offense is not sustainable because you got a quarterback that runs the ball. Eventually he's going to get hurt, or he's going to lose his leg, or he's going to get old or beat up or whatever. That right there is sustainable ball. That was an absolute dime.
Oh, he is going to get old. So that's terrible, but he will get old, Lamar Jackson. But all the other things, that was spot on.
Not yet.
Jerry Sandusky and a friend. The Ravens Radio Network with the call. I don't have the man's name.
Maybe Dennis Pitta, D-Pitt.
Is that D-Pitt?
He's been doing it, you know, makes sense. The rest of the season.
What a performance by the Ravens. What a performance by the MVP favorite, Lamar Jackson, who threw as many touchdowns on Monday at the L.A. Coliseum as he did interceptions. 5 and an absolute butt-whipping, 45-6, Ravens over Rams. Baltimore moves to 9-2, and obviously in control of their division, and right on the heels of the Patriots with a huge matchup against the 49ers next week. The Rams in tatters, and this was my initial thought, you know, soaking in this game afterwards. What does it all mean? A year ago around this time, 53 weeks ago to be exact, there was another league sensation, a young league sensation quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, on the way to the MVP that had a monster game against the Rams in L.A., and Jared Goff and the Rams offense went punch for punch. And not only punch for punch, they won. The Rams won that game, that famous 53-51 win. This year, same situation, another hotshot young future MVP potentially comes into the Rams building, and Goff and the offense weren't even close to being able to go punch for punch. It shows you how quickly the Super Bowl window shuts in the NFL, and also what a mess the Rams have become. But let's start with the Ravens and how impressive they are right now.
And how great the NFL is. And I compared to any other sports league, because it is hyper unpredictable to see, even think where we'll be a year from now, to think that last night history is happening before our eyes, where anyone tracking the NFL has, Lamar Jackson is hot on the radar, but there are still groups of people that don't really watch a lot of games outside of their own team, and maybe didn't even see Lamar Jackson really until last night, and he exploded onto the scene, and in a performance that basically said, Rams, you were the it boys last year. You're not any longer. And you were the untouchable from coaching on down to roster, team building, everything. And can you get there again? Perhaps again. Perhaps so. I mean, things like change, as we said, so much. But right now, it was, you know, I watched these Ravens victories week after week, these crushings, where you almost want to look at the teams that are being scattered into 1,000 parts and say, let's see where you are next week, because it's hard to even look at you. But I also look at from the Rams side, and I'll let you guys hit that. a team that, and this is what the Ravens do, and I want to see what happens against San Francisco. They did it against the Texans. They've done it over and over. They break you physically quickly with, as Eric Weddle said, they couldn't even see where the ball was.
We have Weddle on. Let's hear. And this is very unusual to hear any quote like, and Weddle's a guy that speaks his mind, and it's great to have people like him. So that you factor that in well as well. But to hear this type of quote coming out of a losing locker room is ultra rare.
Yeah, there's nothing like it. You can't emulate it. How are you going to practice it? Lamar is the fastest guy on the field. And now you got it. Obviously, I'm a little frustrated. No, don't take it. It's just he's an MVP for a reason. For what he's doing, their whole team. I kid you not, like, I wouldn't lie to you guys. Half the time, I didn't know who had the ball until they were getting through the line, and I had to go tackle them.
That is an underrated part of their team. Lamar's so good with his ball handling and taking the ball at the mesh point and the creativity with the play calls that Mark Ingram runs well and Gus Edwards and Jackson, that every defense is slow trying to react. I mean, the Rams, we know they're mediocre this season. I don't think I needed to see them get blown out to know that. I mean, Deshaun Watson's Texans lost by basically the same score, ended his MVP campaign. Remember that? They beat the Patriots by 3 scores, and they went to Seattle and beat them 30-16. This is a historic run. They've outscored their last 5 opponents 202, I believe, to 64. And 4 of those teams are teams that could be going to the playoffs. The Rams probably aren't, but 3 of those teams are playoff teams. They are beating great teams by a lot in a way that we haven't seen since the 07 Patriots. So to me, yeah, the Rams are a disappointment. They're going to end up with 8-9 wins, whatever it is, and very likely miss the playoffs. But they're the Washington Generals. As you mentioned, this is the Baltimore Ravens show. It's the first time in literally NFL history that a team has beaten 2 winning teams back-to-back weeks by more than 34 points. I mean, their point differential is right there with, like, the greatest teams of all time. And it's just, like, fun to watch. And it's perfect that we got the 49ers coming in on Sunday.
And this week of all weeks, I was struck by the similarities when we see RG3 warming up on the sidelines in garbage time to the 2012 RG3 season, where it's not every year that the league gets swept up in the fever of a physical marvel like RG3 was when the Giants were saying it's like playing against Superman when they were chasing him down the sideline for 80 years. And then he goes into Dallas on Thanksgiving Day and has a complete star turn. Tony Kornheiser's calling it the era of unbridled optimism. And when I look at this, I think that he's closest to the RG3 rookie as far as skill set, but much better instincts as a runner than RG3, much more durable and strong than RG3, a better pocket passer than Michael Vick. And I think he's on par, maybe not quite at the level of Russell Wilson in terms of decision-making, but Russell Wilson's instincts as a runner, his decision-making is just tremendous. And Lamar Jackson's like that, but with way more speed.
Right. I think he's one of the best runners in the NFL. I mean, you can't even compare RG3 or even Russell Wilson just as a running entity to Jackson, because he's the best running quarterback in NFL history. I mean, he's having the best season any quarterback has had running the ball, and the impact that he makes, like Weddle said, on defenders who don't know where the ball is and their offensive line is playing outstanding.
Well, I would look at it like this. It's his MVP award to lose right now.
I think it's close, though. I really do with 5
not
weeks.
Not the way everyone is swept up in the fever. And he will be the youngest MVP winner, if it happens, since Jim Brown in 57 and 58, which to me makes sense because Jim Brown was the biggest physical marvel compared to his contemporaries that we've ever seen. And Lamar Jackson right now is a physical marvel.
7s are wild for the Ravens right now. They have 7 straight wins. They had 7 possessions yesterday where they got 7 points out of all 7. Or 6 possessions where they got 7 points each time. Here they are now. 9 for 55 touchdowns, 7 for 61 touchdown, 8 for 75 touchdown, 7 for 75 touchdown, 10 for 75 touchdown, 17 for 78 touchdown. And a thing that jumps out to me, and the ESPN telecast hit on this with bringing up the name of the analytics guy that John R. Harbaugh leans on, that multiple times they go for it on 4th down, they just don't care because they know if they execute, they can't be stopped on offense. And that was not – the Rams are deeply disappointing, and especially on offense, where it's stunning to see how far this team has regressed. And Jared Goff looks like the Jeff Fisher Jared Goff now, and it's hard to believe. But that defense of the Rams still has Aaron Donald, and still has Jalen Ramsey, and he had Eric Weddle back there, and it didn't matter. I think it's okay to be swept up by the Lamar Jackson – the magnificence of what we're seeing right now.
I thought it was amazing, the sequence where on 4th and 4, they're up 35-6, the Ravens, and talking about analytics and what John Harbaugh decided to do. And this is not the John Harbaugh of 5 or 6 years ago. They roll out Sam Koch for a punt, right? And then they say, no, we're going to bring in Justin Tucker, and we're going to kick it. And then they say, no. And suddenly you see Lamar Jackson waving everyone off the field, and he whips a big completion, and this is what they're doing every week. I was watching it with Luke, who's 9 years old and has seen like 6 football games. And he said, Daddy, why are there wide open spaces play after play? Because that is a Rams defensive issue. I think they missed Ndamukong Suh. I think that there are things happening, and it's not just the Rams. It's other teams too. But they were broken by the end of that game.
Like, do you think Suh would have made a difference?
I don't know if he would have made a difference, but when Ingram had one run where he clashed into 3 or 4 people, and the Rams, they're all in bright yellow jerseys, and they were just all on the ground for an extra second or two because their wills had been broken by the third quarter.
By the way, on the field after the game, Lakeisha Jackson-Wessling, who is she just Lakeisha Wessling? I got to get this right.
Well, her middle name is now Jackson.
Okay, so I nailed it. She is a huge Rams fan. She uses her NFL connections. Good for her to get on the field and in person at the Coliseum to watch the game. Bloodbath sucks. However, because she's a journo, because she cares about her friends, because she cares about this show, she tracked down the great Mark Ingram, the outspoken star running back of the Ravens, who quietly had another awesome game last night, and got this from Ingram.
My dog, Mark with a C. What's up, man?
They use your drop all the time on their podcast.
Hey, man, I appreciate Mark with a C. He always look out for me, always show me love. That's my dude.
Have you always looked out for Mark Ingram? Is that true?
I mean, we were on foreign soil where we looked out for each other.
A USO tour that you went on together. That's what the famous Mark with a C drop is from. But give me an instance of when you looked out for him and you as a real friend and as a protector almost, helped Mark Ingram to where he is today.
He is a class act, but I think I could help him by not describing the situation. But he helped me much more because the one note I'll say about him is that you can already see his effect on that locker room, that team.
He's the best hype man in the business.
Right, totally selfless. And he's all about Lamar Jackson. He's all about everyone else. And when Lakeisha, I know that she had competition to talk to Mark Ingram. She had to fight to get him for a second.
Lakeisha is
by far the best reporter in the family.
I totally appreciate how she got that. But one thing that happened there is that I totally lost my train of thought because it was just so amazing. But
she forced her way in, and
she did. And she also waited till this morning to put it up. And I thought it was just an awesome surprise to see. But Mark Ingram has done that over and over, and people were tweeting on her tweet, basically Saints fans saying, this is why we miss him in our locker room. That, you know, that's a good locker room too, but that his absence has been felt, and the addition in Baltimore could not have been a better free agent in person fit.
I feel like if I had to guess what the example was, maybe a bare-knuckle street brawl somewhere in the streets of Rome.
Mm.
And you know, Ingram, he could hold his own, obviously. This guy is a big man, and he's knocking out bad guys left and right. But then a sneak attack, a guy comes up behind him with a switchblade. Here comes Mark. He does a super kick. That guy's out. And then you put Mark Ingram over your shoulder and you race him to safety.
Oof.
That I think that's what he's referring to.
That sounds about right. I know on our final night there, he did a lot more to help me. Let's put it that way.
When I was there in training camp in Baltimore, they all talked about that Ingram was already one of the leaders of that team and that offense. Like he made, and that was, you know, that's back in August. He's creating a lot of his own yards. That's the thing about Lamar. Part of the reason his teammates love him is because he makes them all look better. I mean, they're leaving 5 guys in to pass protect almost every down, never an extra guy. So you have more receivers out in the route. That's part of the reason why you know, they have open receivers all the time. The tackles and the offensive linemen, they're all going to the Pro Bowl. They're getting incentives. Like Orlando Brown and Ronnie Stanley are playing as well as anyone. They're getting more love. It's like Lamar makes Mark Ingram look better. He makes everyone look better.
I wrote an article last year questioning why the Ravens bypassed Derwin James in the first round. And now look at the 2018 draft class of the Baltimore Ravens. It's got to be one of the best of the last decade.
Despite taking Hayden Hurst first.
Right. You've got Lamar Jackson. You've got a Pro Bowl tight end in Mark Andrews. You've got two offensive line starters. And then your first pick is your backup tight end, Hayden Hurst.
That's we should mention their defense just quickly is one of the reasons why I think they're the favorites for the Super Bowl at this point. And John Harbaugh had a good quote when they asked him if, you know, they're the best team. He said that doesn't exist. There is no best team in November. They decide that at the end of February.
I thought you said downstairs that your daughter said that. When I was sitting at my cubicle working.
No, I said I'm going to explain that to my daughter.
And I thought your daughter said it. And I was thinking to myself, like, wow, that's really insightful. That's a
no, I said,
young girl.
Ellis is fixated on who's the best team in the league that week. Well, the 49ers and the Patriots have the who's better? Well, how could the Ravens be better if they're and Harbaugh said it well. He's like, there is no best team right now. We got to determine that in February. And so they just have to keep this rolling. They have to get that one.
She was able to discern who was the better team last night, I hope.
Oh, yeah.
And also, Harbaugh is not man enough to say it, but if you want to know who the best team is, you go check out NFL.com/power rankings.
Oh, of course.
There you go.
All right.
You could disagree with whatever you cooked up there.
Before we move on, that was not the only exclusive that Keisha got last night.
Really?
There is something she got just for the three of you and our loyal listeners.
Hmm. Do we have that now?
We've got it.
Welcome to NFL on Courts. I'm Lakeisha Westland, and today my husband, Chris Westland, joins me on the show. His first time ever.
What an honor.
Oh, I know. So we've got a lot of football to get to. We've got the Bengals announcing that Andy Dalton is now, poof, all of a sudden, they're starting quarterback again.
A couple weeks too late.
So, I don't... They're a hot mess. And another hot mess is the Rams getting their butts kicked.
That was a little embarrassing for you tonight.
The Ravens? Ooh, they're so good. Lamar Jackson's so good. Wow. But why you gotta do us like that on Monday Night Football?
This is a late night recording.
I've never seen anything like Lamar Jackson. This is,
you know what?
This is impressive.
I don't need to.
You need some wine.
I need some wine. Need some wine up in my life. Give me your cup, babe.
Let's do it.
Drink it up.
Ooh, it's that song in the back. The production value is out of this world.
Why is the wine blue?
The wine is blue because we're having a baby boy!
Oh, look at that.
I really do need that wine because I just got back from another.
I did not see that coming.
Whoa!
Look at this. Terrence, Greg.
Give me a hug.
Mark, Dan.
Oh, wow!
It's happening.
Dan was right.
June.
Oh, yes!
Wedding, first child. It's going to be June, mid-May, late May.
Congratulations.
I'm due May 29th, though, so it's kind of, I could actually have
could
the
be.
Baby
oh,
in May,
my.
Or it could be in June, who knows, but I'm going to say June, because right now Dan has my whole life, like, in
this
order. He predicts it all.
Congratulations!
Wow.
Keisha has entered the studio for everyone listening on the podcast.
By the podcast.
Tears are coming out.
That is
why is
amazing.
That wine blue?
Yeah, I didn't want to judge the wine, but wow, Lakeisha. And by the way, thank you for the scoop, but more importantly, this is a special moment.
Sorry. I keep crying.
Oh my.
It's happening.
I know, I'm just speechless. It's surreal. We're both so happy.
Oh, we're happy for you. I know this is a day you've been looking forward to. It's amazing.
It's been a long journey, especially through cancer, and there were days where I didn't think this was possible. There were chemotherapy and radiation days where they said you may not be able to have a child again. And throughout it all, Keisha always had this positive outlook that our lives were going to change for the better, and this is what was going to happen in a couple of years, and you were right. And Dan had the same outlook, obviously.
I knew it. I knew it the whole time, and it's on the fast track, and this is Awesome.
Okay, I mean, best, Keisha's best ready. No, I've never known any non-pregnant woman who's had more toys already bought, more plans, more rules.
Babysitting you know, other people's
kids. It's going to be, it, you know.
I was pregnant when I babysitted your two boys. So
So
watching Chris try to change a diaper with Velcro because he's not used to diapers having Velcro was... It was quite
we have talked about in our house, too, because we're like, you know, looking at other parents and comparing, you know, how you're doing compared to others. A lot of times we're thinking we're not up to snuff here, but we've always thought Wes and Lakeisha, they have got it down. They got the marriage thing down about as good as you could. They're going to do the same with the parenthood thing. I'm so happy for you.
Oh, and the ATN Media Insider did have some sparrows coming to me with some rumors that this could be in the air.
Really?
Yes, which I didn't report on that, obviously. But there were sparrows out there that came to me that this could be something that was out there, but I wanted to wait it out and get some more sources. Now I got the best source you can get.
And this is the reason for the cozy freak out.
Yeah. There we go.
There's
been a big controversy about where we're all going to gather tomorrow night for our traditional Thanksgiving Eve NFL media friends gathering. And Lakeisha's been very strong on going to a place that has a great hamburger, Hanano's. And listen, you're in that zone now.
She's
pregnant
eating
lady.
For two.
Wait, who told you, Dan? Who do you think told you?
Do you think what kind of media insider would I be if I told you my source was?
I guess. Yeah, that's true.
You didn't know, though. You were stunned.
Nobody in this room.
You were stunned when you saw this
Erica
video.
Was the
yes.
First
I happened to be looking at you.
There are literally only like two or three possibilities.
Yeah, the light didn't go on though when I saw the blue. I was just thinking, oh, I shouldn't make fun of the wine because she's serious.
Right.
I called Lakeisha out in London.
Yeah.
And Lakeisha was so nervous because Katie was with, and she goes, I don't know, like Lakeisha's not really drinking wine and
that's
stuff like that.
Why we were drinking those.
Yes, and I
got flustered when you asked me.
You know what? Like, Simone asked that question too because I kept saying, so Lakeisha's been so nice about like getting any
I
little thing.
I would have done it even if
no,
I wasn't
I know,
pregnant.
But,
let me say that.
I'm not even thinking of that way. And you're, but I have one larger question because I think the bigger issue here, the shield, is going to be theoretically down a member.
Yeah.
Like, that's something Dan's going to
How about two members?
The company softball team you're talking about.
The company
about.
Softball yes. team. You
know. Not the NFL at large, because Raj is keeping these two. He's making them go to HR meetings and declare their love forever. I don't know what that was about. Recently.
Dan, a headache for you to deal with.
Well, the timing's a little selfish. I'll put it out there. Got a starting catcher, my starting third baseman, procreating when the playoffs are happening. But we'll figure that
terrific,
out.
Terrific, terrific timing though. An off-season baby. That's
oh, yeah.
that's
well done.
The way to do it.
It's
tasteful.
The well baby done. Is due in late May.
Mm-hmm. Late May 29th, right there. So. Right.
Wow.
As has been predicted for years.
I think we just wrap the show and go.
I know.
What
please.
What do we do? Bears, Lions?
Right, exactly. It's like, let's really break down that Driscoll-Trubisky matchup. Please.
And guess See what, ya. Guys? That's the road to victory.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Presented by the United States
I mean,
Marine
the Marines
Corps.
Just got their money's worth for the entire season.
A lot of Marines come back from service, and they get right to work.
Right.
You know, and there's kids that you know pop out 9 months later.
That's what they do, and that's similar to what's happened here.
Wow, Wes. How about that? Pipe's still operational. That's good.
But boys can swim.
What news? And I like you guys dropped it like an A-bomb in the middle of the show. Because that even adds more.
There's a history.
We're reeling
that.
Here.
I mean, yeah. Right, because if Keisha's still there, she built it up. She built up to it. You started talking about Jared Goff's like third down, you know, throws. Like the timing's not really there with Cooper Kupp. Speaking of timing, like, wow,
awesome. All right, and another boy. Wow, that's gonna give. We got a roster coming together here.
We now have the replacement podcast
lined up,
set to go.
Unbelievable. All right, let's try to move on from that, and talk about yes. We, you know, some people say Bill Belichick learned it from Bill Parcells.
I found the official quote, by the way. It's
okay.
After Thanksgiving. The football season doesn't start until after Thanksgiving.
And that is Bill Parcells,
That's Belichick, and Belichick says it quite a bit.
You know, I know you love Belichick, but Belichick learned at the knee of Parcells. I don't think Parcells gets enough love anymore. I think it's all Belichick now, and... I don't know. I guess I'm a big tuna guy.
I'm with you. It's just that Belichick's won like five more Super Bowls at this point. There was a time when they were viewed as equals.
Give Parcells, I feel like not Brady. Like, let's see how he does.
You can say a lot about Bill Parcells. Not getting enough media attention doesn't seem like it's one of them.
I said love. I understand that. All right. Anyway, Parcells said it, and I, you know, again, we talk about him all the time. Mike and the Mad Dog, Francesa would parrot whatever his buddy at the racetrack, Parcells, would say. So that was kind of hammered into your head growing up in the tri-state area, that the playoffs begin after Thanksgiving. So let's make some Thanksgiving predictions. Wes's last Thanksgiving, where he's not a father. Mm. Oh, what a year you got coming up, Wes.
Oh, I know.
Both for the good and the great. And the oof.
There's already been a lot of reckoning going on in my mind.
Oh, it's changing. It's going to change everything, Chris. You've seen it all around you, but until you're actually in the S, as the Marines say.
Mm. Best advice I got and give is don't do any preparation. Don't even think about it too much. There's nothing you can do. It'll all be a waste of time anyways. So just enjoy, support Lakeisha and everything she needs, and enjoy the time until it's here.
I'd take a couple road trips. I'd get away and do the things you can do stuff like that.
There's a catch there. We did the baby moon, as they call it, Emily and I
just heard about
Jack.
This.
It's all problematic because one of the best things about being married and being young and married and having not a ton of responsibilities before kids is that your wife is like your best drinking buddy. And you go to these things. Lakeisha going out of action for almost a year, it's not great. And it will make it less fun not being able to, you know, cut loose with her. And you'll miss that.
All of this is true, but I think our friends, Lakeisha and I, our friends know that we're not two people who really went through our 20s and 30s and you have to worry that they didn't really live it up enough before they had children. We lived it up plenty.
Yeah.
You could also bring Greg on your baby moon. That would be effective. Oh, yeah.
And then my one other thought. Greg's right. There's no way to prepare for it. You just got to be in it. But what the real rope-a-dope, like the Tom Brady-level rope-a-dope is, the first like week, 2 weeks, when you got family helping and the mother has her hands full, obviously, literally, it seems like, I don't have that much. This doesn't change so much. It's when the family leaves town and then it's just the three of you in the house. And things get real.
Yeah. The baby begins by sleeping for like 7.5 hours. I remember reading, ripping through mystery novels and texting all my friends with kids being like, you guys are ridiculous. This is so easy. A lot of me time. Then it all changes.
We've been told it's over for the Westlings.
But it's also the best thing that will ever happen to you. I want to make that clear as well. All right. Let's get to it. The season doesn't start till Thanksgiving. So, Mark, give us a prediction for the 2019 season, which is just beginning on Sunday.
How do I follow anything that happened with this? But I've got like 15 predictions on this page, but this is the one that's burning into my eyes as I read it, because I believe this is going to be a thing that's going to become something that gets thrown into Patriots lore. Tom Brady going out and winning first round playoff games is at this point a snooze fest to the viewer if you're of a certain age, because you've seen it happen 27, 30, 45
times. You mean
their
first, the divisional? Their
first, their initial game.
Yes.
Or let's say even if it were in this case, you've got all the teams in the AFC. Their opening salvo in the playoffs is typically a beatdown that just goes the way you'd predict, or it's close. You can pitch it as close, but it's not this time. It's going to be very different, because there's going to be a minor tick, or a fly in the ointment, I should say, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be something that would be worse. Ticks are very dangerous. But if you're going to lose Tom Brady for one playoff game, it's not going to be extremely serious. Where like
we're
I'm not
bringing back the Mark Sessler injury prediction.
I'll tell you
it's
why.
Been a while.
I think this is actually like the fourth game he missed due to Mark Sessler injuring him.
This is going to
back
thrust
at 16. You know,
Jarrett Stidham into the lineup with very little pre-up practice time. It's going to happen like on a Thursday or something, okay? And you're going to have to suddenly, Patriots fans are going to be freaking out. Scott Zolak's going to be freaking out. Everyone's going to be thinking, this is how they finally got us. But he is going to author one of the most creative, interesting, unbelievable Patriots first playoff games of their season wins in so long, it will feel fresh and new to Patriots fans, and Brady will come back the next week.
Not anything that would surprise me. In fact, Belichick is on that all-time, you know, top 100 team NFL Network special that's going on right now.
Every Friday.
Every Friday. And he just, it's with Rich Eisen, Belichick, and he just said his philosophy, and he's the classic, I read The Art of War, by Sun Tzu, what is the author? And he said that the whole thing, he broke it down to, is exposing and exploiting your enemy's weaknesses and playing to your strengths. That's what he would do in that case, and he'd find a way to protect that quarterback. And so it wouldn't shock me at all. What would shock me is if Tom Brady got hurt, because he doesn't miss games other than that one season.
That that Belichick quote, which was telling, I thought it was, he prefaced it by saying, I always think there's a way to win. Like, every game is winnable. You just have to figure out basically how to attack their weaknesses and make your strengths better.
I mean, that's what's doing it for the Patriots right now.
Right.
Because they're not that good.
No.
I think a lot like
the 03 and certainly the 01 team.
It would cap off a regular season where you could say they're short in a lot of positions to have a backup of all people win one playoff game.
Is this the elbow injury that put him on the injury report and led to a questionable
designation? Here's the thing, if this happens, and it will happen, let's start right there, and I predict the wrong body part, it's going to be like, you didn't really get the prediction right. So I'm just going to say Tom Brady will not be in
there. You were careful not to say divisional round. It looks pretty safe they'll get a bye. But
saying their first playoff game, Jarrett Stidham's in there, and he pulls off. And it's not just because he hands the ball off 604 times. He's going to do something.
Wes.
Sign me up.
Well, I also have a Patriots prediction.
Okay.
It's a little bit different. The current iteration of the Patriots, a team which I find to be just a tad overrated nationally as of Thanksgiving, are about to embark on a 3-game panic-inducing losing streak, climaxing with Week 15.
Climax, indeed.
On to Cincinnati jokes about the resurgent Andy Dalton-led Bengals about to lose their vice grip on the number one pick with A.J. Green and John Ross healthy, and moving the balls in an upset victory over the Patriots, which will be the third straight loss in a row.
So so this would be losing.
Maybe they don't get a bye.
At Houston, no, they wouldn't in that case. Home for Kansas City, and then the kicker, they lose to Zach Taylor's boys.
Zach Taylor took Belichick's
quote.
That's a bold
prediction.
He found a way to win.
It's a bold prediction.
That is...
The next 2 weeks...
You actually believe that, though? Or are you just trying to splashy here?
No, I really think that the Patriots are... I said a tad overrated. I think the way people are talking about them as if they're the favorites in the AFC still... That team ended in mid-October. They haven't played at that level, and I just don't see them playing that way. And I do think if you get Andy Dalton, John Ross, and A.J. Green back for the Bengals, that's not the same team you're playing against that you think you were playing against.
Wes, that prediction topped your news from earlier in the show.
I thought so.
I really don't think the Patriots are who people think they are. They're winning with Bill Belichick in defense, and they're not winning with Tom Brady in offense.
From your lips to God's ears, my friend.
Right, but isn't Bill Belichick... I mean, the defense has been... That's been enough.
Right.
That's been good.
In January, will it be?
I'm saying that luck...
Let's see.
The luck of winning these close games where you're just out-coaching everybody, I don't think you can count on that every week.
You could see it getting to Cincinnati with two losses. Texans, Chiefs, that's not...
Yeah, but possible. They're in Houston. And then,
Greg,
yeah,
aren't you the one who always says any NFL team can beat any other NFL
team? Three in a row from 10-1... Would be a steep fall. I still think they're playing as top six or seven team in the NFL. I'm with you. I don't think there's. In fact, I would say the opposite. I think the conventional wisdom is maybe they're not one of the five best teams in the NFL right now. At least like watching Good Morning Football and stuff like that.
Well, I think that's what Twitter thinks, but I think most of the
that's what I base it on. Walker's become a huge GMFB fan.
Really?
None of them think. Yeah, and I don't blame them. Like in power rankings, it's like, you know, 5-6. That's about where I think people see it.
I don't watch the Wednesday Hanses hit, but otherwise, great program.
Well, that's too early, I think. How early are you on there?
Oh, it's about 6:30.
Yeah, we're not watching TV at 6:30. Sorry.
Here, the thing that hurts is that the Patriots could lose 3 games in a row and still get a bye. They could clean it up and go 12-4, and that might be good enough.
Well,
quite possibly would be.
Well, the Chiefs, yeah, the Chiefs would have a chance to pass them, certainly. So,
oh, yeah, one of those losses would be to Kansas City.
Another to Houston.
Teams change constantly throughout a season, and I could see them going on a three-game losing streak and then rebounding, figuring out some things about their offense and playing
right.
better.
The whole, like, how they're looking now as a Patriots fan doesn't worry me too much, other than they need to get things in place for, like, the three one-game tournaments, as Belichick would think about it, that they hope to play.
Let's go down to the Big D and talk about what's going on with the Cowboys. And I thought Jerry Jones, I understand that he's a carnival barker on some level. He loves to get out there and make headlines and be at the center of attention. But this feels a little different after another disappointing Cowboys loss, their second in 3 weeks. Let's listen to a little bit of what Jerry had to say this week, you know, with a lot of criticism around Jason Garrett and the coaching staff. The Cowboys are very disappointing, 6-5.
When you're general manager, of which I am, those coaches are out there at my ultimate decision. And so just as I should and do expect our fans to, when asked in a situation like that, questions regarding how we perform, it's very much within my realm of purview, if you will, to basically not only be standing there as an owner, but be standing there as the general manager that put the staff together to begin with. And so it's people seem to think that it's particularly harsh to have criticism, and they think that when you look at the other side of the field and call a job well done, that might mean that that's extraordinary criticism of the job that you've done over on the other side of the field, which is me.
All right, so
can we get more of that, please?
By the way, it does remind
at
me.
At no point in your
rambling. reminds me of our early days, Mark, on the copy desk at NFL.com. He was the best person to transcribe because he spoke so slowly that you would be able to type it out in real time and have a really good a copy in front of you without having some guys mumble or talk really quickly.
Well, you got to take the recorder and move it down to 15% speed.
Trick with him, though,
is in half speed, essentially.
You never know where to put a punctuation mark there. Like, that seemed to just be one sentence. A
lot of ellipses.
That just kept.
I fell asleep at one point, I have to say. But the point that I'm getting to in my prediction is that I believe Jason Garrett has used up the last of his nine lives. I think there's a tonal shift going on there. Jera is not going to be on terra firma infinitely. Time is running out, and you sense that the Jones family thinks they have something special with this roster and with some of the way the games have played out, that it maybe finally Jerry Jones is coming around to what a lot of other people on the outside have thought for a long time. Greg, you've been particularly vocal on this front, that Jason Garrett is a major problem for the Cowboys. And right now, if the old season ended today, they would be in as the fourth seed and have a division title. They have to at least do that. And I think Garrett's going to win a playoff game, and I don't think it happens. So I think Jason Garrett gets fired come Black Monday. This year, that is my prediction. And a lot of people have been predicting that for 5 years now, but I just have a bit of a feeling.
So you have them not making the playoffs.
No, they might even make the playoffs.
So he survived, yeah.
You get whacked in a wild card.
Get whacked in the wild card, and then that's it.
I had something similar that I thought that Garrett...
And Matt Rhule takes over.
I could see him potentially being gone before the season ends. If this continues apace and if they collapse, let's say they lost to the Bills on Thanksgiving and it totally collapsed. And because my dream would be, because I think when he fired Jimmy Johnson, the back part of Jerry Johnson's brain or Jimmy Jones or Sir Jerry Jones is bringing, where is my brain, thought I could coach this team. I would love to see Jerry Jones step in and try to coach the Cowboys for one game in Week 17.
Ooh,
and then turn around and either try to get Kellen Moore or Chris Richard, but if that doesn't work, make a strong run at luring Tony Romo out of the booth to coach the Cowboys next season. Oh, yeah.
I do think it's insane that there had to be sources on multiple networks saying that they're not considering making a change before the Thanksgiving game. I was like, wow, that had to be something that you wanted to, that the team wanted to put out there. Well, you know, maybe if it was like we didn't have a game till Sunday, that would be a possibility, but it's a short week. Let's not make any coach changes. We talked about this exact conversation before the season, and I think we settled on, or at least I know I was saying, like, it's NFC conference,
yes,
you know,
we did
championship game or bust. I don't think that's changed. I do think there's a chance Chris Richard gets elevated, and that way you keep Kellen Moore, and it's not too big of a shakeup.
I think we're all trapped in Week 13, and if you look at this team...
Week 1.
And look at their schedule, they're much more likely to win out.
Well, I agree with that. I agree that I think they're going to make the playoffs and be a dangerous team in the playoffs.
They've beaten one team with a winning record.
It's tough to get to a conference championship.
That. Just say you look at their team,
right.
You look at their roster, you look at the fact that every game's been close. The losses have all been close.
Right.
This team is much more likely to beat the Bills, Bears, Rams, Eagles, and Redskins than for it to collapse.
Now, right. But that's not going to be enough for a bye. So they will have to win not just a tough home playoff game, but they're going to have to win on the road, likely against, you know, either a 49ers or a Saints type of team to get to that.
They are not getting a bye.
And Wes, you've been pounding the table for the Cowboys all season, and I get it. And a lot of like the analytics back it all up. But yeah, I haven't seen enough consistency. I can't even put this Buffalo game in the win column for him. And imagine what happens if they lose on Thursday, the drama that would ensue following
that game. I totally understand that sentiment, and that makes more logical sense. I just have an intuition that this team is better than that.
All right, we're going to get to find out. And one last note, Jane Slater, friend of the pod of NFL Network, and she covers the Cowboys in an excellent fashion for us. She was on our airways on NFL Now earlier today and had some really strong comments. She said that there was, quote, blood in the water at Cowboys headquarters. She's covered this team for a while now, that Jerry Jones was uncomfortable to listen to for people that it's their job to listen to him. And also a source told Slater regarding the Cowboys, it's too early to sink the ship and too late to fix it. Motto.
Well, the Marines don't like that situation. I'll
Marines
tell you that.
Will fix anything. Greg,
I mean, they need a general manager that doesn't act like a fan. That's what I would say. Doesn't get so emotionally, you know, wrapped up in things. I'm going to go with another team that I think is better than their record, like the Cowboys, the Kansas City Chiefs. And my prediction is just that they're not going to lose another game for the regular season. And heck, I didn't know we were stretching this into the playoffs. Let's just make it through the playoffs. You know, let's say
the
Chiefs go and win a ship. I think they can. I really like this team. I think their regular season run is not crazy to pull that off. Winning in Foxborough is certainly the toughest game that they're going to have. Winning the rest of their regular season games will not get them a bye, most likely. They would need the Patriots to lose three times, or
that's happening.
Right, that is happening. I want you to lock them up there. Lock up the Texans. Show your belief this week.
All right, I will.
And they would need the Ravens to lose twice. That doesn't seem like that's going to happen either. So it's going to be a tough road for Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. But I do think they are right there to me with the Ravens and the 49ers, and I guess you'd throw the Saints and the Patriots maybe just a little bit below them as like one of the Super Bowl favorites. They haven't totally shown it, but I think now they will show
it. The Ravens do play the Browns and Jets, so Greg, your dream is alive.
With their run defense, can't you imagine Lamar Jackson just absolutely, and Mark Ingram absolutely destroying this team?
I mean, they dominated the Ravens, first of all. Like that was a game that they won convincingly, that Lamar Jackson probably played one of his worst games. You know, week three.
Week three.
The Ravens,
I hear you.
Ravens.
Yeah, but no, I hear you, but I'm just saying, like, that is something that happened.
Ancient history.
I also think run defense, It would be a big time problem for them, but it's a problem for a lot of these good teams. Like the Patriots don't have the best run defense. The Ravens don't have the best run defense. The 49ers don't have the best run defense. Maybe they match up well against all of them.
Greg, the Ravens' offense is a problem for any defense that ever played football.
Right, exactly. My point is, I think the Chiefs are going to play to their talent level, and it's a much better defense this year than it was a year ago. And the offense should be ready to soar, and that they're going to come into the playoffs as that proverbial team no one wants to. Especially the Ravens or Patriots in the divisional round. It'll be really interesting if those two teams get the bye, like kind of how that all shakes out.
The Kansas City schedule, if they can knock off New England, is very manageable. And the two games that the Baltimore Ravens lost, they were 2-2 at one point, which is crazy. And I get that it's like in the Mesozoic era at this point. But what happened was they got down early in those games. And yes, that's the one thing. Any team in the league, when you're up, everything is maximized. But if you're the Chiefs and you could somehow build an early lead, which they're explosive.
Or the 49ers, more to the point this week, two teams that are really good playing from ahead. And it's not just because of the running game. It's partly because both of their defenses, the Ravens and the 49ers, are so good with blitzes and just winning against the pass versus the run. That's one of the reasons the Ravens' defense has been so much better.
I have the Chiefs and the Cowboys kind of in a similar club for me, where I believe in both of those teams. At a certain point, they need to really get hot and win four or five games in a row to show everyone that they are indeed a badass team. So let's see if one or both of those teams can pull it off.
I have the exact same prediction as Greg, except I did not have the stones to put them in the Super Bowl. I have them winning out the regular season, advancing to the AFC title game against the Ravens in the most anticipated AFC title game matchup.
I didn't really even either. I didn't know what I thought this was a regular season thing, and then Bartlett asked me, does that mean they don't lose for the whole rest of the season? Hey, sure, why not?
No, Bartlett's he's in the bag for the Chiefs, so he's like, all right, that's a great segment. Mark, give us one more quick one.
Let's see here.
He's got a highlighter all over that page. Quick one, Mark. Here we go.
The Seahawks win the NFC West, and the 49ers lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Okay. I have a Seahawks as well, that they will be the first team since the 1999 Tennessee Titans. They were the Titans back then when men were men. Whatever happened to Gary Cooper? The first team since the 99 Titans to go 13-3 and be a wild card team. Because I think the Niners and the Saints will hold on to those first two spots and get.
It's been that long.
I could be wrong, but I did some quick Googling.
Yeah. And the Chargers had a chance last year, but then they lost at the end.
All right. Good stuff. Let's get to the Thanksgiving game previews. Let's go in order, starting with the early game. A bit of a snoozer. What is it? Tryptophan? Hey, you know, eat all that turkey. You're going to take a nap. Well, this is before the turkey.
It's 9:30 a.m. on the West Coast. Right.
Sweet social media content. Tryptophan jokes.
Tryptophan jokes are hot this time of year. The Bears travel to Detroit to face the Lions. And, you know, this is a dangerous spot here for Matt Patricia in a nationally televised game. A team that's lost, I believe, six of their last seven. And they're surrendering 29 points nearly per game, so the defense stinks. He's the defensive-minded coach, and now with Matt Stafford on the shelf and potentially, you know, there's rumblings that he'll be heading to IR at some point. He's done for the year. Jeff Driscoll comes down to earth this week against the Redskins, so things are really bad for the Lions, and you get the feeling if they can't beat the Bears, who are coming off a win, that Patricia's fate will be close to sealed. That's just kind of how I think there are big stakes in this game organizationally for the Lions.
Rough idea if you don't have Jeff Driscoll playing in this game. He's fighting a hamstring injury, and at that point, you know, you've got, you know, a big problem handing off to Bo Scarborough and hoping that they can survive against this Bears defense. I think Driscoll's played fine. As backup quarterbacks go, he totally collapsed at the end of last week's game against Washington, but he hasn't been the problem. The defense has been the problem. And Mitchell Trubisky hasn't been quite as bad the last couple weeks. Still pretty bad. Still long stretches where they're punting against bad defenses, and he's, even in his good games, he'll throw you know, one or two picks or one or two that should be picked, but he hasn't been quite as bad, and the Bears defense would seemingly be enough to just go win the game by themselves anyways.
Well, yeah, any Trubisky progress is loaded with caveats, but we've seen in a couple of games in a row now stretches.
A couple of hot streaks.
Yeah, hot streaks where the ball placement is pretty good and the accuracy is all right. You know,
but then it goes bad. It's like
then it goes bad. You're right.
It's like he has one or two bad throws and then he just is no longer confident.
Well, we're comparing him to how he looked a month or a month and a half ago. And I think it counts as some progress.
I think it's a, you say for the Lions that it's a game and a season that could lead to organizational
referendum,
changes.
Referendum, bro.
I think the same when you look at Ryan Pace, because I look at Bob Quinn, GM of the Lions, Ryan Pace, GM of the Bears. I'm not sure who has a better case to stay at this point after this season based on some major decisions that have been made over the course of the couple years in Detroit, lack of progress. But Detroit, to me, has zero real home field advantage in these Thanksgiving games. They just don't. But they have stopped the run, and that's kind of been the recipe to cause some chaos for Chicago that cannot run the ball. And maybe if you can get a play or two off of Trubisky, a little bit of Detroit magic. Not predicting.
It's crazy that this will be one of the most watched games of the year. The Chase Daniel win a year ago was the second most watched, you know, football game all last season, and the most is the Cowboys game following it. Usually, the Thanksgiving games like these, this is it, and it's crazy that it could be.
It's not a great marketing tool, to Dan's point, but
it could be better. But I would never flex it out, as I said.
Not anymore.
People of Detroit need this.
They've been on a pretty nice winning streak in these Thanksgiving until not. They lost last year, but in general, the Stafford Lions have been nice on Thanksgiving.
I haven't been tirelessly tracking that stat.
I track this very closely every year, and I talk about it every year. I love the halftime show in Detroit on Thanksgiving. You know, Mark rolled his eyes, but this is important.
Well, because it's...
Of course, in 1999, Third Eye Blind played the halftime show. About 6 or 7 years ago, speaking of our early NFL.com days, Mark, remember there was some pushback about a early Around the League post that was publicizing a petition that the people of Detroit were signing to get Nickelback kicked off the halftime show for the Lions Thanksgiving game. Well, this year, the Brothers Osborne will be playing.
Who are they?
I am not familiar with their material.
One of them is Joan, I would imagine.
But they look like a couple chill whites. One of them's got a cowboy hat. I'm going to say country music. I'm going to go.
Sound like rivals of the Family Von Trapp singers.
By the way, yeah. The starting quarterback for the Lions could be a man named David Blow. He's the only healthy guy on the roster. He was Purdue's backup quarterback.
Does that count as an upgrade on David Fales?
Wait, he was the backup at Purdue?
And led them to a big-time win.
Hey, give Colin Kaepernick a good job already.
He was briefly on the Browns this offseason.
They traded for this cat.
B-L-O-U-G-H.
I pronounce it
Blau.
The thing I found most interesting, they tried to get Josh Johnson from the XFL this week to, you know, potentially step in, which shows you maybe Driscoll's not playing this game. The XFL didn't allow him out of his contract.
Yeah, XFL.
XFL blocked it.
There you go. Flex those steroid-addled muscles.
David Blau, if I'm not mistaken.
Blau, okay, sorry.
Played okay in the preseason for Cleveland. Yeah. I mean, it was against, you know, people that are now working at Rite Aid.
Please don't tell me we're watching Dave Blau.
That feels like emergency flex powers by the league, but fair enough.
That's a job, Wes. We're watching Dave Blau, that's a job.
That's our job.
Yeah.
Mark's right. The last time we saw him was like in the deep reaches of the fourth quarter of preseason games.
Total job watching Dave.
Good player. Good player.
He did become a starter at Purdue, and you know, he bounced back and forth. Nice 6-5 season.
All right, the second game and by far the best game on the Thanksgiving slate, the Buffalo Bills 8-3, coming off a couple of decisive wins, which we had wanted to see from this Bills team to actually go beat up on some teams, and they beat up on a couple bad teams, and now they get the Cowboys in Dallas. And this counts as a challenge for both teams. Wes, this is a good game right here because the Bills, with their defense, which was incredible, I understand it was against the Broncos, but there was an incredible stat connected to the game that on the last five possessions for Denver, they averaged, I believe, something like 5 inches per possession. So a total shutdown effort And now the Cowboys, who got shut down by the Patriots in crappy conditions in New England, if their offense is as good as they as we believe them to be at home, this should be primed for a bounce-back performance, but we'll find out.
It will be interesting to see how that matchup works out, because I was down on the Bills' defense 3 weeks ago. Then they played the woebegone Dolphins, who had just lost like three of their best players on offense. And then they played the Broncos of Brandon Allen. So what do you do against the Cowboys, who have been 1 or 2 in DVOA all year, and now you're facing real talent? This is a test for the Bills' defense. And really, it's a test for the Cowboys to get off the schneid as far as maybe not starting their offense until the second quarter of a game. You're waiting 15 minutes to get into a game. You need to start from pass one and get out there and get an early lead.
What I'd like to see is, because if you go up and down the schedule of the Dallas Cowboys, they haven't really faced a quarterback that provides like a mobile threat. They haven't dealt with that. And the Bills at least are leaning into, as you pointed out after that Denver game, they're leaning into Josh Allen's powers on the ground. Why not do that all day long? And him with Devin Singletary and Frank Gore gives you something, and that's what I would do, is just lean into Josh Allen.
He's such a dynamic athlete, but like, you watch Lamar Jackson, who knows how to avoid a hit and is elusive, and you watch Josh Allen, and he's fast, but he's a bucking Bronco, and he's just running into people and over people and through people.
Yeah, I wouldn't be comparing him to Lamar Jackson at this point, but he's fun to watch.
You could lean into it. Part of the reason I think he stopped running, or they stopped calling the plays, is because he had a string of insanely poor fumbles while scrambling and running, and I think they tried.
He almost had another one last week.
In key situations. Right.
Even, call them insanely poor fumbles.
Like where it's like he had a couple times this year where all they had to do was not fumble and they win, and then Josh Allen fumbled and it raised some question whether you're going to win or not.
I like how Greg painted that one. They literally only needed Josh Allen not to fumble.
That's the thing. He's had his two best games of the year. He's running more. I think there's a lot to be excited. Their defense has been way more aggressive. Can you blitz as much, you know, against this Cowboys offensive line? I don't know. But even in those good games that Allen's had, he still had a couple throws that the gives the opponent a chance to make a big interception. This Cowboys run defense, though, I think is very vulnerable if you watch them. Really, the last 5 or 6 weeks, but especially the last 2 weeks, and now Leighton Vander Esch being out, I think, is a big part of that.
This is a great game. I'm looking forward to this game because for two reasons. The Cowboys, and we talked about it a few minutes back, they're always great soapy theater. It's fun. They are a TV show. They really are. So to see what's going to happen next, the next chapter for them. And then back to Josh Allen. Who's got their ringer on?
Not me, but I would imagine
Wes.
Someone who's announced major life news in the middle of a live show, their phone may be ringing.
This is a huge stage for Josh Allen, who I feel like kind of is
never been in a big
relegated
stage.
To the early games on Sunday. I feel like the Bills have played roughly 7,000 1 p.m. games in the NFL since Jim Kelly retired. They don't get a lot of primetime games. So here we are, Thanksgiving, right in the middle. It's going to be one of the highest rated games of the whole season. Josh Allen, are you good? Are you a guy that the Bills have a franchise quarterback? Well, a lot of people are going to form opinions based on this game, whether that's fair or not.
And if you're Jason Garrett, what happens when Jerry Jones watches you potentially outcoached by Sean McDermott?
Ooh, McDermott's doing a great job, although he does make me nervous every once in a while. It's like he won't let Josh Allen throw a Hail Mary at the end of a first half. It's like, you got Josh Allen, let him throw the ball. They just decide to kneel on the ball with 10 seconds left at the 45-yard. It's like, I don't know.
What is the point? Yeah.
I just like, why? That bothered me. So at his heart, he's very conservative. These are the two teams that all season their fans have been annoyed that they haven't beaten a good team. Both of these teams, because neither one has beaten a winning team at the time. Now the Titans have a winning record, so that's the best win either one of these teams has had, is that Buffalo won in Tennessee 14-7. I mean, the Cowboys need it. They need it bad. And I've got a question for the Mirror Committee.
Ooh.
Is Chiefs Raiders, is that not mirror worthy, even though technically it's for first place? Because if that was
That's not even a Thanksgiving game.
No, I know, but I'm gonna lock up the Cowboys. If you're saying,
what does the desert say about Raiders?
It wouldn't pass the desert.
Greg,
but you guys
never
are funny.
Understand the mirror. It's not our mirror. It's yours.
Yeah, it is yours. And you believe in the desert, so I don't think you could.
Do you have a mirror?
Yeah, we've got a couple around the house.
Do you ever look at it?
I mean, you like what you
does
see?
Does it look like it? No, no. It's like I never.
I think you've answered your own question, though.
Yeah. If one of you jumped on that, I could always jump.
I have
jump,
no problem with you taking either team in this.
Yeah, I'll go with the Cowboys then and lock that up.
All right. Okay.
In the Cole Beasley Bowl.
That's right.
I think that's a fine lock.
His second studio album's coming out pretty soon, so he's been working hard.
I'm going with you. I'll lock up the boys too. Let's go. Let's fly. Be fun thing on Thanksgiving.
This didn't work.
Well, I'd
out.
Like
this
to do. I'll, work out I'm going to do a triple lock then. We've never had that.
Whoa!
Ever.
All right, I'm jumping out. What's the point then?
Greg's out.
We've done it.
We're in.
We've done that very well.
Nailed it.
Chiefs and Raiders.
Sure.
See, can you look in the mirror? Oh, can you? If the desert doesn't.
Why not
bring?
Join us?
I believe that was a usurping.
It's just like I don't know. What's the point then?
It would be a like first time thing.
I used to think we had a rule even against it. Because you're trying to like...
No, I mean...
No, there's no... You're the one that says there's no rule.
Can I bring something up, by the way? Can we hear just the lock sound effect again?
Ooh. No, I'll stick with the Cowboys for now. We got a show tomorrow. We're taping.
Listener pointed out that is a very meek lock sound. We used to have a great lock sound. It sounded like a vault being slammed. Yes! That's a lock sound drop. Can we address that? Is that Bartlett? Is that something?
Yeah, it's a graphics team because it's married to, you know, if you're watching the show, you get a really cool lock graphic. But I can hit it. We can hear it if you want a bunch of locks.
It's just, it's so mediocre. It's like a little, like a bike lock.
So you think it
I mean, that's all you guys need
picked.
For your dumb locks.
Easily picked lock. When you lock it, you're putting it in the vault.
We're not easily picked over the last month as a group. But Greg, I feel like you're a little annoyed that we... jumped on your party line there.
Oh, yeah.
See it in your face.
No, not annoying. Like, if I hadn't have locked it, so you wouldn't have locked it? I just don't get that.
Maybe they hadn't put much thought into the lock.
Thought, yeah, I hadn't thought about it
I
at
did
all.
Very, yeah. I didn't right before the show started.
I might jump out of the lock when we get to tomorrow.
It took a quick light. That's right. Everyone listening, we've got a Wednesday preview show.
We might be on the air still by the time the next day comes. So
sorry.
Finally, the Saints are at the Falcons. This could have been a fun game. Back in September, you know, right before the season began, this looked like potentially a game in the NFC South with huge playoff ramifications. Well, it is for one team, the Saints, 9-2, who are looking to stack W's and get a bye in the first round. And the Falcons, you know, speaking of the locks, they killed Greg and I on Sunday. They laid a total egg against the Falcons, against the Bucks at home, turned Jameis Winston into Brett Favre, and... that's just who the Falcons are, a team that shouldn't be trusted, that have it in them to occasionally show up and ball out, and they've done it, you know, three times this year, twice, 2 weeks in a row before what we saw Sunday, but they are who they are, which is an inconsistent to bad team, and the Saints, I feel, again, the stakes are higher. Now, I think what Parcells was getting at in part was the real teams, when they sense the moment, once you start to get to December, they are not. They are much less likely, you know, to trip over themselves. The real teams button down and separate themselves, and that's why I don't see a flat performance by New Orleans. Although we've seen that a couple times, I believe they go into Atlanta and lay a beat down on. I wouldn't be able to look in a mirror on this.
See this,
but I feel very strongly about that.
Well, you could do it. They're less of a favorite, for instance, the Saints than the Cowboys.
Well, they just got worked over by the Falcons a couple weeks ago.
Are big Saints are bigger or less favorites than the Cowboys, for what it's worth.
I think
you could look in the mirror for that.
I'd be shocked if New Orleans. This is a huge weekend for the Saints. They're 9-2. The Seahawks, if they win, would be 10-2. Let's say the Saints won this game, they'd be 10-2. And if the New Orleans Saints beat Seattle, they'd have the tiebreaker over the Seahawks. And if the San Francisco 49ers lost to the Ravens, very possible, the Saints would suddenly be a bye team, and then you just got to ride it out.
There's something going on with the Saints offense that I've been begging for all year, and it's finally happened. They finally have a third weapon because Jared Cook is that guy. He's playing really well over the past month. I think he's found a rapport with Drew Brees. And I like this offense the rest of the way, even with Drew Brees having a limited arm strength. You know, he can still play good football with a limited arm. They do have the left side of their offensive line out in this game. And I don't know where we're at on the Falcons' pass rush. I don't trust them, but...
I don't trust them, but they had a good game against the Saints. I think that was one of the keys, was they disrupted the timing of Breeze. But I'm with you. I think it was a good sign for the Saints that they could win an old-school Saints shootout. They had a ton of big plays. I mean, you know, he doesn't – there's a couple of throws where the arm doesn't look great. He also put it on Ted Ginn about 45 yards down the field, and Ginn dropped it. They had a number of explosive plus 20 passing plays in that game, which they have not had all season long. So I think that's a good sign as Breeze has gotten back into the rhythm of being their starter again, that they can win high-scoring games. I kind of expect this to be a high-scoring game, especially if Julio Jones is healthy. That is a problem for the Falcons when he is on the sideline.
Saints secondary got fried last week.
I'm sure you know where to go to on the internet, Greg, but the site I'm looking at has the Saints getting an extra half point of wood over the boys.
No, the Cowboys right now, they're about 6.5-point favorites, and Saints are 5.5.
Do you just imagine that's vernacular that gamblers use?
Yeah, you got to lay some wood. All right. Here we go. Good stuff. We will be back Wednesday, tomorrow, with our full preview of Week 13. So, yes, it's a little different with Thanksgiving on Thursday. We're right back at you tomorrow to preview the rest of the games. And then Friday, first thing Friday, Mr. Sessler and I from the garage in Culver City at Hansus Manor will recap all of the Thanksgiving Day games and the Thanksgiving night games. So you'll get a podcast Wednesday, you'll get a mini pod Friday, and then the Week 13 recap on Sunday. That's a lot of content.
Feels like
this
a lot of work during the Thanksgiving weekend, but what, you know, I'm excited to cover these three games essentially a second time.
Okay.
Let's do it.
That is the excitement that we're looking for, Mark.
Will be fun.
All right, this is Dan Hansa signing off for Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling. Excuse me. Oh, and congratulations.
Thank you,
Wes. Jeez, that's all that matters. Chris Wessling and Lakeisha having a baby. Till Wednesday.